This is Tate 3 talking to Brenda Knox in Seneca on the Black Heritage Project. And Brenda, you were telling me that you prized his death, but you don't know that he did it.
Yeah, I don't know that it was a really special thing for him. It was just a desk that he bought and he used, he needed. It had been in his, I understand it had been a part of his early office. And then when they moved it, or maybe it had just been a part of the, from the old house, because when I became aware of it, it was in the old house. Mm. They had never moved it over to the new house as
right.
such. But that's one thing I recall. I remember he received a special honor, and the medical association, we talked about earlier, presented him with a special silver cup
right.
for, I think, dedicated service, and that was like a special thing, you know, at the house. But I don't know, you know, like you say, your own, what you tend to really care for or prize, maybe some altogether different from what someone else. And I don't recall of anything particular that we were.
What about adults that your father or mother might have admired most as a child? Now the question here is what adult did you most admire,
mm-hmm.
but I think we want to know further
yeah.
back. So is there anybody that they admired or thought of the most?
I remember my mother talked a lot about Mary McLeod Bethune.
Ah.
She had, she spoke. Let's see, how was this now? I think she spoke in Atlanta once or twice, and they were able to go over to hear her, and that was like made a great impression on Mama. Now, let's see. Now, my father, I don't know. Let's see. From as early as we're talking, I don't know of any
right.
particular person that he ever mentioned, other than say maybe some
yeah.
of his own either colleagues or his teachers, you know, along that line. I don't know.
Anybody that they liked the most that you ever heard him say, or? Anybody, your mother, you think your mother
no.
liked her even?
I remember her mentioning her a lot.
Right. Did they ever mention any particularly happy childhood moments that they had? Anything special that they talked about? Told us that
well, just
cute
that.
Story about the Christmas. I love that. Was there any other,
just their,
any other things that happened?
I think the getting together, the camaraderie between all the family members as well as other friends and classmates and neighbors. Now that I think was the main thing, but a particular incident, no, I can't think
right.
of.
When you were a child, how did you feel about being black? Did you get any feelings from your parents, or did you ever hear how they felt, or?
Well, I can say that I don't know. I don't think that I received any like negative. You know, like it was bad to be black. But like I said, with my father, there were like, that was understood, there were blacks and whites, and, you know, some things you all did together, and there were some things that it did make a difference.
Yeah.
But I don't know that we really crossed the line that much, you know, so.
You didn't get any feeling from that?
No,
that.
I don't think I was ever given any feeling not to like, you know, whites, or to act a particular way, other than just your normal, well-mannered.
That was my
you
next
know,
question. How
kind
you
of
feel
thing.
About
that
white.
Was just a part of your growing up. You treated,
yeah.
you know, everybody, especially older people. You know, there were certain ways that you were supposed to act. It didn't matter whether it was black or white. I think. And I don't know that I really wasn't. I've never really been associated that much
right.
with whites, especially when I was young. Now. Well, now, obviously, yeah, but, see, I went to school, and all black school, church was black, you know, so.
The feeling I've gotten from some of the older blacks has been that, back then, you would just talk more respect for the elders, no matter what.
Yeah, if it was an older black person, you knew you treated them special, just
yeah.
like any older white person, you know. So I don't know that there was any particular kind of like warning or treatment or some such thing as that. It's just like you kind of picked up things as you went. I don't know that anything was ever said. It was never overt. It was kind
right.
of understood.
Yeah.
I guess really that would be about it. It was just to be well-mannered. It didn't matter who you were dealing with.
Right. This one is, I think it's impossible for you to answer probably about from their viewpoint, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you know of anything that they might have changed about their lives? One thing, if they could have? Is there anything that you ever heard them say?
I don't recall them ever saying anything.
Yeah, most people, I mean, I think that's sort of unspoken.
Yeah, well, the traveling aspect, they always enjoyed that. Now, I do remember my mom saying traveling more, you know, maybe. That might have been something. Other than that, no.
No biggie. No,
I don't
no
recall
dream
any
you
of them saying, that if, maybe, so I could have, you know, I don't recall ever. Because my mother was a nurse, she liked it. She worked as a part of the Pilgrim Health Insurance. She was an agent for that. And she seemed to have, she enjoyed that, the meeting of the different people. So I don't recall, like, occupation-wise, that would have been a difference. And I think my father really enjoyed being a doctor.
And I just saw something about your mother. We talked about your father. How about her segregation as a black nurse? Was she pretty accepted by white nurses, or was she kept...
When she started at Oconee Hospital, now see, that wasn't until 60... Let's see, I was in junior high, so it had to be somewhere around 62, 63.
That's pretty far along, yeah.
So by that time, you know, I don't recall her ever saying that anyone ever stipulated that you can only be here, work in this area, or anything like that. And from way she talked, there were nurse, black and white nurses. There weren't that many, but
right,
the ones
right.
that were there, some of them were like maybe LPNs rather than registered nurses. And so you did have some.
Hmm.
In the area that worked at the hospital, but I don't recall there being a separate place, like maybe you had to eat in a different place. Now that may have been, but it just may not have been. She just didn't ever mention that. But now, and when she first got her, when she went to nursing school and her training, she went to Brewer Hospital in Greenwood. Now from listening to that explanation, I assumed by it being a larger place, that was evidently, it was a separate hospital.
Uh-huh.
And in Columbia, she was at Waverly Good Samaritan. At the time, it was called Waverly Hospital. I think later years, it became Waverly Good Samaritan. And that was a black hospital because she would talk about, they would have a lot of patients from the students from Benedict and Allen College because it was right down the street, like from the two schools.
Uh-huh.
So, especially after football games, they would get, and then a lot, and they actually would go out into the community, she and some of the nurses and then some of the doctors. It would be like maybe each doctor would take one or two nurses with them, and they would go out in the community to visit the different people, because I remember talking about that, especially if they had some contagious disease, they would go out to keep them from having to come back and forth, and whoever the doctor would be, they would go on that particular rounds and such, would take one or two of the nurses with them. And she had remembered going to visit sometimes for that. So in that regard, I guess the larger areas where they could actually afford to build a separate facility. Now, in this area, I don't know if there ever being a separate facility. That may have been. It might have just been understood that you went to my father's office. Mm-hmm. See, that could have been the way that was worked. You went to the office rather than go to the hospital. But on the other hand, he was always reminded from what my mother I remember saying, that he had, you know, clear shot, he was welcome to use the facility. So I really don't know of there being.
How about back in his day, people visited homes more. Now, did he go right into the white homes, black homes, everything? Because they made families, they made house calls back then.
Yeah, and a lot of times, especially, you know, after they got married, a lot of times, mama would go with him.
Oh, the two of them.
You know, overnight, you know, we've got to go find this, because she declared that he wasn't a good driver. So a lot of times she'd go just to drive.
Right.
Just to get there. And so he could, like, concentrate on what he was expecting or give directions or one or the other. And so from what I remember gathering, that was kind of the thing. It was like the two of them, especially right after they were married, early years, they'd go out together to way out in the country somewhere, this little road here. We know if there's a little road up here somewhere, we've got to turn to go out. And so that was just a part of the routine, and it didn't matter, you know, that you need a doctor, you need a doctor.
Right. Right.
You know, so I don't recall of there ever being a problem in that regard.
Huh.
But, yeah, you just went. They were expecting you, and a lot of times they'd be waiting, you know, on the road or to say, well, this is it. This is the turn.
Or maybe signaling. Or
sometimes that would, I understand that would be the case. And sometimes it was a house that they, if they'd been to it before, then it wouldn't have any problem with it. And, like, everybody didn't always have a telephone, of course.
Oh, right.
So,
how did they get in touch with
so
your dad?
So it's like
they
either they'd come get him sometime or whoever had the phone would get the word. And I do remember my mom saying, you know, like, sometimes the deputy or somebody would come to the house because that was the person that they had gotten the message to, we need a doctor, you know. And who is it? What's wrong? Where is it? Okay, let's go. And that was kind of one way that kind of went. And sometimes if Mama couldn't ride with him, I understand sometimes, either my uncle, after they were all in, sometimes he'd get in the car and they'd go, because by him being a teacher, sometimes he'd know where different houses were, just like Daddy, and they would go. I understand that was a regular part of the routine. So I don't know that it, you know, the race thing made a big deal my father was concerned, you know, in his practice.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because he had...
He had a big practice, right?
Yeah, he covered a pretty good area from what I've heard over the years, you know, all around, obviously all around in this area and then all out in the country, because you'd hear him, well, we went and had to go up way out above Walhalla, going up to Madison, say, for instance.
And
see, that's almost to the state, to Georgia line. So there were different cases at different places, so yeah.
Hmm. And he was a doctor for how long, Brenda?
Forever. I don't know.
Turn of the century.
Well, he died, put it this way. He died in 56.
Uh-huh.
And before that, he was sick maybe 2 or 3 years and had really dropped quite a bit of his practice at that time for a few years before that time. And he was already practicing when the flu epidemic hit in 1918. So
we know
we're talking at least 40, 50 years. His
wow.
practice.
Long
practice.
My goodness. Yeah, I just asked, and I think we'll get this on tape. I know one of the main reasons that I wanted to contact you was because of your father. Do you feel we have covered pretty much?
I would have to say, as far as I know. Now, other kind of information, I just would have to try to see if I could find other notes and records at the house from different things, but you have to kind of think about that. I was really little. When I was born in 51, he was already at least 60 or 70 years old. So it's, you know, and then he died in 56. So there was only that 5-year span in there where I actually was in his presence. Most of what I have of what I know of him has been from other people telling me, my mother talking about him, and everybody else, you know, saying, well, you look just like him. And I really don't know that, even, because I don't remember.
Do you have pictures?
I have pictures, yeah, uh-huh. And I go from that. But no, I don't know that
right.
I really would have fulfilled everything that you need. That's why
right.
I'm...
But do you think we covered it, though, is what...
I think
the questions
so. From as best I know, I think most everything that you've asked would have fit in there for those things that I was able to answer.
Because we did ask about his education and his practice and his home
and
life.
I think we really kind of covered it.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So. I just wanted to make sure because Jim, if
you're listening. I don't know of anything else that I would be able to provide. I'll put it that way. Like the other cousin, his nephew,
Charles Watson, that you talked to.
He would have been older during his time, so he would have shared a little more, been able to share a little more in that regard. So, I think so, but I think I've tried the best I could.
Oh, no, it's been an interesting interview. I just wanted to make sure that I covered everything.
I think so.
Right.
You asked him pretty good questions.
Well, thanks very much. Appreciate it.